Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
You say, but John, you don't know my wife or my husband. Possibly not. But I know no marriage is perfect. And of course there's adjustments. Of course there are trials. Of course there are difficulties. But Christian marriage, Paul says in Ephesians 5, is to be a beautiful picture of Christ and His church.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Divorce has become commonplace. We're told if we're unhappy, uncertain, or unexcited in our marriages, we can just walk away. But today on The Verdict, we're looking at the biblical perspective as we consider the teaching of Jesus on marriage and gender. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with this message titled, Jesus and Divorce.
No one gets married believing they will get divorced. But in a culture of low commitment, coupled with the dominant philosophy, I deserve to be happy, many people head for the divorce courts. Last time we considered God's design for marriage, which He ordained from the beginning. We all act very selfishly, and the breakdown of marriage is certainly not unique to our society. At the time of Jesus, the Pharisees come and ask Jesus, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? What will Jesus reply? What would be your reply? In this series, we look not to what our culture believes, not what the laws state, but what Jesus teaches. Let's consider the teaching of Jesus on divorce.
In our throwaway world, I fear that marriage is another disposable item. If marriage doesn't work, and often it doesn't, get another and another. As the country and western song says, I'm going to keep on falling in love till I get it right. Divorce is so woven into the fabric of our culture now that marriages are easily dissolved by what's called no-fault divorce. You may have seen the sign on I-77, life is short, get a divorce. No doubt by a cynical attorney looking for business. Life is short. Don't put up with this. End it. Get a divorce. In a culture of low commitment, coupled with the philosophy of I deserve to be happy, many couples, rather than working through their problems, choose divorce. God wants me happy. And if I'm unhappy in my marriage, and if my wife, my husband, is no longer fulfilling my needs, and particularly if I've met someone else who's much more exciting, I'm going to end this marriage and enter another. Isn't that largely our society here in the West, here in the United States? I want us again to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Our subject is Jesus and divorce. Now, this message is not an exhaustive treatment of the biblical teaching on divorce, and I realize this is a tough message, tough for me to preach, tough for many of you to hear, but this is the Word of God. Let's read our Bibles, open our Bibles and read from Matthew chapter 19, and I'm going to read the first nine verses first of all. Matthew 19, verse 1. Now when Jesus had finished these sayings, He went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed Him, and He healed them there. The Pharisees came up to Him and tested Him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. They said to Him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away? He said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, Whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another commits adultery. Now there you have it. The teaching of Jesus contrasted with our secular society. First of all, as we look at the subject of Jesus' teaching on divorce, we want to think of how the Pharisees viewed divorce at the time of the Lord. The Pharisees' view on divorce. Notice that they again try to trap Jesus. Verse 3, they ask him, they tested him, they're trying him. Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? That's the question. They are trying to trap him. This question of divorce, we understand, was hotly debated by the rabbis at the time of Jesus. So this controversial question posed by the Pharisees in verse 3 was designed to trap Jesus. They thought it through. They knew the Old Testament law. They knew the teaching of Moses on this subject. And they knew that Moses allowed a man to divorce his wife if he found some indecency in her. Now let's look at that text. It's in our Bibles in Deuteronomy chapter 24. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because, here's the phrase, he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies, who took her to be his wife, here's a woman who's been divorced twice, or widowed the second time, then her former husband, first husband, who sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. An interesting passage. Now, so here is the debate at the time of Jesus. What does the law mean? What did Moses mean when he said, we have it translated in our English Bibles from the original Hebrew, some indecency in her. Now, the rabbis loved to have such debates, just as lawyers love to debate these things. What did it actually mean? And there were two main views represented by two leading rabbis. Rabbi Shammah interpreted some indecency in her very, very strictly. In their view, this view, sexual immorality by the wife was the only ground of divorce. Followers of another rabbi, Rabbi Hillel, had a more liberal interpretation on divorce. Hillel said, certainly, immorality was a ground for divorce, but there are also other grounds in which you could put your wife away under the heading that you had found some indecency in her. What were these examples? Well, burning your meal. Who wants to be married to a woman who's always burning your grits or your hot dog? Or if you found some obnoxious and defective physical features in her, such as bad breath, such as excessive sweating, such as being loud. Which interpretation do you think was more popular with the men? The strict view or the lax view, the liberal view? Remember, the men make the rules. And the more liberal view was the more popular view. In fact, one rabbi after the Lord, living from 50 to 135 AD, Rabbi Akiba, he even permitted divorce if the husband found a more attractive woman. So very easy to get a divorce in that view. Now, under the Mosaic law, if we go back to the teaching of the law, in a sense, leaving aside these interpretations by the rabbis of the day, under the Mosaic law, it is clear, and the Lord is saying this, that divorce was a concession, but it wasn't a command. In the Mosaic Law, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 24 in the first four verses, various procedures had to be followed. A divorce certificate had to be granted, which was a public declaration that the relationship was ended. Here it is. Here's the divorce certificate. There you are. Goodbye. Don't come back. Deuteronomy 24 was regulating divorce, but was not commanding it. Now, what was Moses saying? He was saying something, I think, very, very important. If a man divorced his wife, as he found some indecency in her, however you may interpret that, if a man divorced his wife, who then married someone else, and who then was divorced by that second husband, or that second husband died, the first husband is prohibited from remarrying her. So this law prohibited a remarriage to the first wife after an intervening marriage. Do you get it? It was, Moses says, an abomination to the Lord. This woman had been defiled. She had sexual intercourse with someone else. You don't want to bring her back, is what the law was saying. Under the Mosaic law, notice what Jesus says, verse 8. Jesus knows the teaching of Deuteronomy chapter 24, obviously. Notice what he's saying. Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. We've seen that expression from the beginning before, didn't we? Verse 8. Have you not read, says Jesus, do you not know your Bibles, that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Interesting. Notice the high view that Jesus has of Scripture. God's plan is that marriage is a permanent and exclusive relationship. That's how God ordained it from the beginning, as we saw last week. I think it's very, very interesting that our Lord Jesus, the master teacher, he's not drawn into the rabbinical debate to debate what some indecency means. And he doesn't answer their question directly. Rather, he doesn't deal with a Mosaic concession, but to God's plan for marriage from the beginning. God never, ever commands divorce. Divorce is not part of God's plan for marriage. From the beginning, as we saw the text in Genesis 2 last week, from the beginning, it is one man, and Jesus quotes Genesis 2:24 in Matthew 17, it is a man who leaves father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. God's plan for marriage, please hear, from the beginning, is that the marriage bond is indissoluble. Did you notice what Jesus said? Verse 6. I think we need to hear this. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Notice, who's doing the joining? Not just the man and the woman. What God has joined together, let not man separate. Here is a man and a woman. They come together. There is a leaving and there's a cleaving and there is one flesh. That's marriage. That's the teaching from the beginning. Divorce then is a tearing apart what God has joined together. It is a violation of what God ordains. No wonder, and some of you know this from experience and great heartache, no wonder divorce is such a traumatic and painful experience. I've never been divorced, but I've met many, many, many people who have, who've sat in my study, who've spoken with me and told me of the tremendous pain and heartache through being divorced. Notice Jesus says in verse 5, a man leaves his father and mother, holds fast to his wife. The old King James, cleaves to his wife, holds fast to his wife. That holding fast emphasizes not only love for your spouse, but a commitment, a strong commitment to loyalty and faithfulness. Our society talks a lot about love. And in marriages and in weddings, there's great emphasis on love, and rightly so, of course there is. But there is less emphasis, isn't there, on the holding fast, on the commitment. Married people, you made a commitment of loyalty. You made a vow before God of faithfulness. And the marriage vows, at least all the ones that I've heard, are not I feel, are not I hope, but I will. I do take you to be my lawfully wedded wife. And I do commit to a life of loyalty and faithfulness. Marriage, as we saw, is a divine covenant. What a beautiful institution, yes, God has given us. It's not thought up by us. This is God's plan for his children. One man, one woman, making a lifelong commitment before God. You say, but John, you don't know my wife or my husband. Possibly not. But I know no marriage is perfect. I know that when you marry, you're marrying a sinful person. And you're a sinful person. And of course there's adjustments. Of course there are trials. Of course there are difficulties. But Christian marriage, Paul says in Ephesians 5, is to be a beautiful picture of Christ and his church. Beautiful picture of Christ and his church. Here is Christian marriage. Love. To love someone and to be loved by them and to know that they've made this commitment of loyalty, where there's mutual respect, where there is forgiveness, and where there is joy. It always bothers me when couples say, when they ask about their marriage, they say, well, I'm working on it. You thought, you know, marriage is not meant to be like digging a ditch. I'm working on it. Yes, there are things to work on, but God gives us marriage for our joy. Marriage is a wonderful thing. I hope there's laughter in your relationship. I hope there's laughter in your home. Not silliness, but the joy of the Lord. Now, notice Jesus' teaching on divorce. Jesus reaffirms God's plan for marriage from the beginning. And he accepts that from creation, there is only one type of sexual union permitted by God. Do you hear me? That the sexual relationship is within marriage. Not before you're married, not outside your marriage, but within marriage. Verse 9, read it again with me. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. We also saw it in chapter 5 of Matthew. Remember, way back then, Matthew 5, verse 31, it was also said, he's referring to Deuteronomy 24, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. There it is. Divorce is a breaking of what God has joined. You know, it's a wonderful thing. And I have the privilege of doing it, of leading a couple who stand here in marriage. It's a wonderful thing to think that not only are they expressing their love for each other, in a sense, that's the easy part, they're also expressing a lifelong commitment of loyalty and faithfulness to that person. And God, and Jesus is saying, it's God who joins us together. What God has joined together. I thought of that. I wonder, how gracious of God. There are singles here, and you want to get married. That's a good desire. And you're a bit worried about who you're going to marry. Don't worry about it. You walk humbly and live a life to the glory of God, and God is well able to bring into your life the person that you should marry. And the wonder of marriage is this, that God knows the kind of husband, the kind of wife you need 20, 30, 40 years ahead. Now, my goodness, we never thought of how it would be when you're married 20 or 30 or 40 years. I mean, that's for old people. We're in our 20s. We're not thinking that far ahead. Isn't it wonderful that God knew that I needed, how I need, believe me, how I need a godly wife. And that God knew that. And that God knows what you need, brother, what you need, sister, years from now. And God brings us together. Isn't that wonderful, marriage? I say to you, to married people, if you divorce and remarry, you're going against God. You're committing adultery. Divorce is a break from God's pattern and purposes. What therefore God has joined together, verse 6, let not man separate. So we must strongly reject the view that if you're not happy, if you're not fulfilled in your marriage, or if you fall in love with someone else, divorce is a good option. Yes, you may have struggles. Yes, there may be difficulties. But remember, God has brought you together, and God will give you, I assure you, all of the help, all of the wisdom, all of the grace that you need so that your marriage is truly a marriage in the Lord. But you say, there's an exception. Isn't it interesting? Not just lawyers. We always want to look for the loophole. Well, I know that it's true, but in my case, is there a way out? I hope you don't view it that way, but there is an exception. Did you notice? We read it in Matthew 5, verse 32, and we read it in verse 9 of our passage, Matthew 9. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, here's the exception, except for sexual immorality and marries another, commits adultery. In these passages, Matthew 5 and Matthew 19, Jesus is giving an exception to the rule that the marriage bond is indissoluble.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the start of a new lesson titled Jesus and Divorce. John will be right back in just a moment, so stay with us. With all the confusion and turbulence in our world today, many people are struggling to find peace and security. Questions about sin, salvation, judgment, and why it all matters seem to be mounting all around us, and we need to be clear on what God says. That's why John wrote a new booklet titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. And he shares his personal testimony along with a careful examination of Scripture to help us find clarity on these matters of eternity and to better understand the implications of salvation by grace. This special resource is completely free by mail or download. Just visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And you'll also have the opportunity to sign up for John's monthly email list. Be the first to know about upcoming resources and ministry updates by simply clicking the sign up link on our homepage. Again, that's calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Before we close, we encourage you to take your own step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting this ministry. You can join in our effort to share God's word with a financial gift of any amount. And you can make that donation today, wherever you are, when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks for today's message.
Well, what's your verdict? What do you think of the Pharisees and their question? We must understand that Jesus goes back to the beginning. The principles of marriage are not new. Perhaps you're in a difficult marriage. Rather than pursuing divorce, will you ask God to reveal any selfishness in yourself? Will you repent of any conduct which is hurting your spouse? God will give you all of the wisdom and strength you need to have a marriage which glorifies Him. Next time we continue this important subject of Jesus' teaching on divorce.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.